This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. For some, Alan Alda will always be Hawkeye Pierce, the sarcastic but tender-hearted surgeon bedeviling U.S. Army superiors during the Korean War. The final episode of season 11 of MASH in 1983, which Alda directed as well as starred in, was the most watched television broadcast ever until the 2010 Super Bowl. But Alda's career has been packed in the last three decades. Movies, as a writer and director, as well as an actor. More television, including a role in the last 2 years of The West Wing as Republican Senator Arnold Vinnick, for which Alda won another Emmy. In 1993, Alda started a new calling as a science journalist when he signed on to host the PBS series Scientific American Frontiers. He's written two autobiographical books, and tomorrow he'll be in Baltimore to kick off the new season of the Baltimore Speaker Series presented by Stevenson University. And Alan Alda joins us on the line from New York. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to talk to you.
Now, you have immersed yourself in science in the last two decades, several PBS series, other projects. What's the big appeal to you of science?
You know, I just love it. It's fun to me. It's amazing to me to read and to talk to read about and talk to scientists about their work, because I just can't get over the fact that they can figure out such abstruse things based on such a little bit of evidence, but it's reliable, and they can prove that they got it right. And it, just watching their minds work is one of the most fascinating things, I think, that you can see in the world. It's a part of nature that just amazes me.
I read that you started reading the articles in Scientific American in your early 20s. Now, this would have been a time when you were getting a very vibrant comedy and acting career going. Why were you reading Scientific American?
Because it fascinated me, because it was a foreign language that I was trying to learn, just trying to pick up what the words meant and what the concepts were on the fly. And it was really a lot like learning another language, and the languages have always interested me. I've always tried to learn a language at least enough to be able to make somebody laugh in that language.
Wow, humor is hard in another language.
Yeah, but if you speak languages the way I do, they start laughing pretty quickly.
I've heard you make a distinction between interviews and what you do when you're talking to scientists, which you call conversations.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
I think we found something kind of unusual in presenting science, an unusual way to do it. We just stumbled into it. And it was that we had a pure conversation, the scientists and I. It wasn't a case of me going in with a list of questions. I didn't know what I was going to ask them, and I didn't know what they were going to say to me. I was just trying to understand. And that had a completely different effect on the scientists than if they saw me asking formal questions that they had to come up with formal answers to. They saw that if I didn't understand them, I just kept badgering them until I did. So they started to forget about the camera and forget about an audience listening on the other side of the camera, and they were just talking to me personally and trying to get me to get it. And that kind of shift to a more personal tone, I think, made it more accessible to the audience as well. And it kind of led to my understanding that you could probably train scientists to achieve that personal tone. That contact with the audience.
And I wanted to ask you about that. At Stony Brook University in New York, you created the Alan Alda Center for Communicating Science. What's that about?
Well, it's an attempt to train scientists while they're learning to be scientists to learn the skills of communication. And we do kind of unusual things to help them achieve that. And one of them is we teach them improvisation games and exercises, which are designed to bring you in contact with the other person. And it really has an amazing effect. And we've done this. We are spreading this around the country, and other universities are partnering with us. And we did it in a couple of universities with very senior scientists who are already good communicators. And they were our most enthusiastic partners because they realize how hard it is to communicate with people who don't have your training, and you have to somehow translate. You have to speak the same language and know what they're thinking while they're listening to you. That's one of the difficult things you have to learn. But But what's interesting about the things that I'll be talking about tomorrow night, but this is making me think of that, is that that's real. Tomorrow night is really about my life in a way that I tried to understand my life, which in a way led to all these things you and I are talking about now, which is, in a way, I'm trying to teach the scientists to really be there. And one of the things I was trying to learn in my life was how I could really be there. I had a strange life. I started out standing in the wings watching burlesque when I was 2 years old.
Because your father was an actor.
Yeah, yeah. It was a very odd beginning, but I was drawn to the comics and I was drawn to the chorus girls. They were very sweet to me. They were like motherly to me. So I had a lot of these early moments in my life, as odd as they were, in a strange way built up to the things I do now and in a way to the contribution I think I can make now.
Well, I get that all of our experiences play into who we are and what we can do and what we can contribute. But your contribution seems so wide. This whole science thing we've been talking about seems to me a different track than, for example, you're going back to Broadway this fall.
Yeah, I'm going to do
with Candace Bergen, revival of the comedy Love Letters.
Right, it's a lovely play. I love Love Letters because it's not sentimental in my opinion. It's very tough, and it's about the same thing we've been talking about. Only it's not about a scientist and a non-scientist trying to communicate. It's about two people who actually love each other trying to communicate, and that's one of the things that one of these great scientists who took our workshop said after the workshop, this has helped me communicate better in every way, including with my wife. So in a way, what we do in any part of our lives, whether it's a boss and an employee, a husband and a wife, lovers, scientists, and the rest of us, we're all trying to help each other understand one another. And I guess that's a lot of what, for some reason, that's a lot of what my life has been about.
So when I look at this range of activities, from science to writing to Broadway, I should not think attention deficit disorder. I should think there's a connection in all this?
I don't know. Maybe I just... It's lucky I called you. Maybe I got a diagnosis.
That is not my job. But it sounds like it's going
to
be...
No, I'm curious and I like to be active. It makes me feel alive. And I like to do things that scare me. I'll be talking about some of the things I've done that scared me. I get scared into knowing I'm there by some of the things I do. And I don't scare myself by hanging off mountains or bungee jumping the way normal people do. I don't like to go into the wilderness unless the wilderness has a lobby. But I scare myself sometimes by going and speaking at places where I really have no business being, and I have to quickly get up to speed and find out why I'm there.
Well, it sounds like tomorrow's going to be a fascinating evening. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you. I enjoyed talking with you.
Writer, actor, professor Alan Alda. Tomorrow night at the Meyerhoff, he'll kick off the 2014-2015 season of the Baltimore Speaker Series, presented by Stevenson University. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. More ahead on Maryland Morning. Stay with us on 88.1.